Welcome, dear listeners, to the I Dream of Indie podcast. Outside the echo chamber, if you haven't heard of us, we're I Dream of Indie Games. We're on the YouTube, and also we're on the Twitter and the TikTok, and we live stream, and we're all about indie games. We love it. We want to bring a voice to the voiceless ones in gaming. And we're here to chat about all of indie gaming world things. I am joined by Silent Signs and Legend of the Star. Hello.
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 How have your weeks been?
I'll go first. Chaotic, to say the least. I started ripping up my kitchen floor yesterday. So that was eventful and confusing for everyone involved.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, you know, sometimes in life you just gotta take a shovel to your kitchen floor and hope for the best.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, put that on a poster somewhere.
Yeah, it's an inspirational poster. Everyone should have one in their house. Other than that, I've been just kind of doing this, like just existing. Man.
Existing is good. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's hard to do that in this world.
Mm-hmm. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
How about you, Legend?
Oh my God, I almost wrote down school. My youngest one started school. Last Wednesday? So she's already been there, and kind of like weird how they started midday, but whatever. Virtual, of course. Still trying to get the teenager in a public school, but it's like lottery time, you know, because I did it a little late, I guess. I don't know. I'm new to the whole public school thing, so. In the meantime, she's doing virtual school as well, and they just sent me her supplies today. Very cottage core theme, I guess, is what they're going for this year. So I've been looking at stuff to kind of like accessorize, like cute little magnets for her whiteboard and all the cute stuff so that she can have her own little space. But we met with her coach today, which is kind of like a guidance counselor. And went over kind of her classes and what she, you know, sort of expects from herself and that kind of stuff. Like, it was really focused on her, which was nice. So I'm looking forward to like a really good year this year with high school. And now that she's better prepared with all the school stuff, I think she'll do good.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's so cute that you're helping her accessorize and all that. It makes the experience better.
Yeah, I've got to organize the office, got to do all like the fun, cute stuff. And I saw this cute little cottage core binder because you got to have a cute binder, right?
Of course.
But even if she's in virtual school, I still try to make it like stuff. So I'm going to decorate her space. I'm excited.
What about you, Rose? How was your week?
Good. I went back to teaching university.
Back to school?
Yes. I'm so happy to be back there. I think I just had a little bit of a burnout and I needed a little bit of space from that. And then to also just experience minor bits of trauma at other workplaces to then come back and be like, oh, wow, could be worse, actually. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to step away from something to realize how good you had it.
And yep.
That perspective, man, it's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. It has taught me much, and I am grateful for. But everything going well on that front, and I recently started reading a new book that I rarely ever like pick up books while I'm walking through a bookstore. But because there's a bookstore on campus, and I was kind of killing a little bit of time, had this really pretty floral background, and it was Do Nothing or How to Do Nothing. Hold up. Do Nothing, Resisting Attention Economy. Yeah, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. Very interesting so far. Basically, it's like it's talking about mindfulness without saying the word mindfulness, but also how the society we live in, the capitalist structure, has taken every moment and convinced us through gig economies and things like that, that it's monetizable. So like you don't really have, or it's not as encouraged to have a moment where you're just a human under a tree and you're just like, I'm a human under a tree. This is swell. And I'm like, oh fuck, that's so true. I'm thinking about for my own life and I'm like, oh God, yeah. Every moment is like, and how can I turn this into content? And what if I did a job right now real quick?
Yep, I feel that. The urge. The urge to be productive at all times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it for that, because it's like, it's kind of breaking it all down and also making me want to pause and slow down more, which I'm grateful for. I'm trying to encourage more in my life.
Yes, balance is key.
Yes. So that has been my week. Now, oh, is this a fresh question here on the dock?
I think it is.
I think so as well. I don't remember asking this. So we have our question of the day. How much do you think your life would change without indie games?
I wouldn't have a job.
I never met y'all, that's for sure.
I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have content. I wouldn't have anything to do in this space, really, because I wouldn't say that I'm nothing without indie games, but I would have to say that indie games has sort of defined the creator that I am, that I've become. And without that, I don't know if I would really be in gaming at all, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I would still play games, but I don't think I would make any sort of gaming related content. And it definitely wouldn't have as large of a space in my life as it does right now, just because I enjoy the creativity of the indie scene and the community of the indie scene. And I don't get that same feeling out of a lot of the AAA stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can see gaming still taking up a space, but just a little bitty space in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gaming wouldn't be so big in my life if there weren't indie games. I mean, that's indie games, besides like the first, you know, NES sort of stuff that I played when I was super young. Indie games have been the majority of all of my gaming experiences since I was young. So like, the only thing I'd have would be Animal Crossing.
More Animal Crossing.
Yes, all of the Animal Crossing, maybe some mobile games, and then just a fuck ton of books.
Yeah, I think I would definitely watch more television and read more books.
Be on Netflix more with the stream, yeah, or insert streaming mm-hmm. service here.
One of them.
Which, by the way, what bullshit. They've done the same thing that they did before, where they had like a whole bunch of packages of channels, and you'd have to pay to have like certain channels, and you had to pay a fuck ton of money to be able to see all of them. But now we get it through streaming.
It's like an easy way to sort of cheat this. And a lot of people complain about, I mean, I'll admit it, like I do mostly Netflix, but I do like the Viki stuff, you know, because I like the Korean dramas and the Asian dramas and stuff. But and it sucks, like the pricing that they have nowadays, but I mean, I'd rather pay that than have like a subscription service like HBO and then have to also have one to Showtime or whatever, and then just to watch the shows that I want to watch. It's just weird.
The key is, end up
on Netflix anyway.
You need family and friends that are willing to share, and you just trade logins.
All just like, I'll be Disney Plus, mm-hmm. you'll be Netflix, you'll be HBO, you'll be Hulu, you'll be Viki, you know, just like, all right, let's exchange our logins and, you know, fuck them. They won't take more money from us.
Yeah. Until they catch me, I will not stop.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Exactly.
So we covered a lot of games this week on the channel, I think more so than what we've been used to. It was kind of weird for me because I feel like I was out of kind of the loop because I was on vacation, and then coming back having to have a brand new schedule was a little odd. And then we switched games, which also switched days for us, which was kind of interesting.
We've had a lot of change.
Yeah, change. We did. So how was it for you streaming on a Monday? Was it different? Was it weird?
A little bit. It was weird on Tuesday because I was like, I think I'm supposed to be doing something right now. It's like, wait, no, there was a shift, but I felt it, the shift in the matrix around me. Mm-hmm. How was it for you?
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. Monday too, I was like, I feel like I should be doing something productive. But happened. It was really weird. I'm like, yo, I could totally nap right now. Not even like cut into my time. It was odd. It
The
was.
brain adapts, you know, it's like, oh, this is what I'm used to. See, when you throw a wrench in it, it's like, no,
It
actually,
was super messed up.
unacceptable. But we had quite a few reviews. Silent Signs, tell us about Curse to Golf.
Sure. I loved it. I didn't think I would love it, but I did. I don't usually like golf games because I think the concept of a golf game is super boring. Like, golf
Agreed.
itself, no offense, but it's kind of a boring sport. There's
Boring
only
as fuck.
so many ways you can make it interesting. It's cool if you like it. It's just, it's
I
kind of
judge you
boring.
if you like it.
It's
But
different.
Curse the Golf, super charming, super fun to play, super addicting. It's more of almost a puzzle game than I thought it would be, but not like in a challenging puzzle way, in a like fun to solve puzzle way where you don't get annoyed or frustrated. Like, it's
That's a fine
also,
line.
yeah, it's a super fine line, and they dance on that line very well because it's also kind of a roguelite where essentially you're golfing through 18 holes, and if you fail at one of the 18 holes, you start back at the beginning, which like sounded very daunting when I started playing. But after a couple of failures, you start to get better. You start to learn how to use these cards. They're called ace cards in the game that can like make your ball turn into a rocket or like drop dead in the air or all these crazy things. And it just gets addicting to see how far you can take it on a single run. So I highly recommend.
Oh, those of us who are not golf or sports game fans, this sounds like a good little entry point. And I like that you mentioned the
Indeed.
puzzles are not too challenging because that's something I detest in games. And I feel like it just pulls you out of the experience because instead it's like I didn't ask for, a little brain
Yeah,
turner here.
it's a puzzle in a sense that it requires a little bit of planning, but not a puzzle in a sense where you're gonna have to like sit and stare at something and like there's a wrong answer. There's multiple ways to solve these puzzles, which is
Oh,
cool.
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
The graphics look cute though, and it seems like it's already been pretty popular on Steam. I mean, it's hit. I've even noticed it in my front page rotation. I always
Really?
like to take a look at those. I always like to see what sales that they have available. And it looks like a lot of the friends that I have been enjoying it quite much. So
Yay.
I think it's even on sale too on Fanatical.
Yeah.
I've been working on that this week.
And
I think I
it
saw
got
something
a
about that.
golden genie lamp from me, which I feel like I haven't given one for a million years. I wanted to give one to Hellpie, but it was a little bit too broken when I played it. It probably would get one now, but alas, too late.
A little too late, but that's you needed a good, fun genie lamp worthy game. You needed to win. And we had another genie lamp with a roller drome. Every time I read it, I want to say roller dome.
Me
Roller
too.
drome from Joe. Did Joe give you any deets on his experience? The gist that I get from this game is you're basically doing tricks and shooting guns. Everybody described it as Tony Hawk with guns, and I can totally see that. It's super like stylistic. I don't know if you guys checked out the trailer or the review or anything like that, but like such a cool style, and he loved it. He also gave it a lamp of approval. So it was a win-win week, like a very winning week for us. It's definitely
That
got a
game is
gorgeous art
also on
style.
sale. But yeah, I'm
Really?
noticing all this shit now. Yeah, so that game's also on sale. I think that's on Fanatical, and I think it ends like sometime this week. But the graphics look great. It has like that Telltale kind of like stylistic vibe to it. Very line, like that line drawn art's pretty crazy. But yeah, you just shoot and do tricks. Kills gain you health, and I guess like doing certain tricks gives you ammunition for the weapons that you have. So that was kind of like, it was a neat little spin on it. Because if you've noticed, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there are a lot of roller derby based games that are coming out.
I did not
Roller
know
Drome
that.
was one. Yeah, Roller Drome is one. There's another one that I sent Joe where that's like a party game, but also a dating sim as well. That involves, yeah, that's okay. Very LGBTQIA plus, very, very, yeah. Like, the graphics are adorable, very, I think, I don't want to say very violent, but semi-violent, but it does kind of have that roller derber, oh my god.
Roller I love derby. What you just said, that was the best.
Roller derby game aesthetic, totally that. So I'm excited for that. I forgot what it's called. I sent it to Joe, but
I'll leave the name afterwards.
One more that's like roller derby based.
That sounds
it's so cool. Fabulous.
Also, not a pause for the podcast, but Silent Signs, I think you have an unwelcome visitor in the room.
I do. It is driving me insane.
Do you want a moment to murder it?
I don't know where it went.
Grab a shoe. Grab a shoe. Text Joe. For those of you who are listening and cannot see, there is some creature of undetermined origin. Probably bug type because it flies.
Yeah.
It has wings.
At least it doesn't look like the bugs in that game you were just playing.
Oh my god. Yeah, holy crap. That was bad. We'll get to that one. Joe did review of Blossom Tales 2. That's one I still need to watch that review. I haven't seen it.
That one is also a lamp winner, I believe. It was like a very lucky week for winning games.
I think it even surprised him. They were discussing it in the Discord when I have a chance to. By the time, I don't know, y'all, they wake up hella early in there and like have long ass conversations, like paragraphs and shit. And too early for me to like comprehend, but I do know that the majority of our community enjoyed Blossom Tales 2, and Joe was quite surprised by I believe the game and his playthrough.
Yeah, it looks super cute. I did not play the first one. I don't know if either of you did.
No.
But
it's more of a Zelda one, right?
Yeah, it is, and it definitely looks like it, but like with super cute graphics and characters and storytelling, and it just looks lovely. I played a couple of the puzzles for Joe because, as we've probably established in the past, he's not a puzzle person. And
I think we all hate puzzles here, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. Okay with puzzles.
You're okay.
It depends on what kind of puzzles we're talking.
Fair.
Like slidey puzzles, like the slidey. Oh my god, that fly is gonna drive me insane. But like tile puzzles where you have to like put the image together with.
Oh, I love those.
I can't stand them.
Oh shit.
Really? So, I just can't do them. My brain is just like, nah, no. Mm-mm. So, but like other types of puzzles, I can like one of the puzzles in Blossom Tales 2 was like a pattern thing, and it was just a matter of like figuring out the pattern and doing the pattern over and over again, and Joe just could not get past that part. He was like, here, you sit and do it, and I was like, okay.
at least you were there to support him through the tough times. I did a review for Dusk Diver 2 on the Switch, which I really wanted to like it, but it just performed like ass on the Switch. It should not be on the Switch.
No.
But I also say I liked it, but it's definitely nowhere near a perfect game, specifically in the combat. They're just sponges. They're just fucking damage sponges. And you really start to lose the drive to play after a while when you've been trying to kill the same three fuckers. And it feels like you've been there for 5 minutes. You're like, this is not fun.
Mm-mm.
If that was faster, less tedious, which from what I've seen of people in the comment section online, it seems like the original game is the combat is less tedious than this. But it's a decent game. And I think visually it's very striking for an indie game. When you look at it on PC, not on Switch. Looks like crap on Switch as well. But on PC, it looks dope.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wonder if at a certain point, like, is it worth having it on the Switch if it's going to perform like poop?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's for the folks that play these games on Switch to answer. I mean, would you rather have the game and have it run poorly, or would you just rather not have the game at that point because you're not getting the best optimized version of it. I don't know.
You're not getting what you paid for.
Yeah, and that's a bummer.
Even you know, if you don't know how good it could be on a different console, like it makes me think of when I did a review for Rogue Lords.
Yeah.
Rogue Hearts is somebody
that's something else.
Yeah. Rogue Lords, really fun game originally from PC, but something I noticed with the Switch before I even knew it was on PC was just kind of slow. And even if you don't know it, you feel it. You're just like, something feels not as fun or convenient or like, it's like a itch you can't scratch.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not a graphics snob. Like, I don't really care how my graphics look, but if it's running poorly, that's a different story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
And our final review for this week, we had a ex-hardcore gamer did a review of Yars Recharge, which seems of another one of like the remastered Atari games, right?
Yes, correct. Looks like kind of a shoot 'em up with a twist. So where you can nibble things. I don't know. I tried listening to what he was saying, but he lost me at nibble. I love that. That should be the subtitle for the game. Yeah. You know, the eliminated description, just like pew pew with nibbles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But from what he said, it seems like a well-made product if you're a fan of those kind of old Atari arcade games. Seems like they added missions to it, which kind of keeps things fresh. Looks nice, neat, and pixely, and everything you would enjoy if you're an Atari fan. So
it does exactly what you would want if this is what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So what more could you ask for?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a lot of live content.
Oh my God, did we ever.
A lot of me and Legend have been, we've been slaving away.
We
on
have.
The streams.
really have.
Sunday, I did Corpse Factory, which I reviewed, gave it the Golden Genie Lamb, and I've mentioned it quite a few times. And I was just like, I wanted to keep playing it, but I also kind of wanted to stream it. And I was like,
why not both?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just let me stream it with everybody. And even though at first I was thought I wasn't going to enjoy having to replay sections I had already played, you know, to start everybody on the stream from the beginning with me. But I really did, actually. I just went back and I was like, oh, actually, the writing here is good as hell. And I like all of this. This is actually just reliving shit that I enjoyed. Really dark thematically, you know, and everybody in this world seems to be fucked up in their own special way, but that's exactly why I like it.
But ain't that the truth anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, it was very fun to watch you play through that one. Fascinating story. Like I'm into it. Like you gotta continue that playthrough just so I get some closure.
Oh, this Sunday,
we'll be streaming Corpse Factory.
And I'll try to do for streams always like a little bit of a recap, which is good for me and good for y'all. But yeah, previously. The story.
Yes.
Previously on Corpse Factory. Who can we fuck this time? Just kidding. This isn't a game about fucking.
Only That's killing.
Only murder. Yeah, only murder. I also did live because me and Legend swapped. I was live Monday, as we were mentioning before, and Legend was live Tuesday. Monday, I did Dwarven Skykeep, which was ?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to know what to say about this because part of me wants to say it was bad, mm-hmm. but it wasn't bad. Like, I really like the design. Once I got into the gameplay of, like, setting up the different rooms and you get your little, what are they, dwarves?
Mm-hmm.
You get your dwarves and send them to, like, do this and do that. You get into a flow. But what the fuck is the story and the dialogue? I have to imagine that the creators of this game, English is not their first language, because it reminded me of the Sand sort of game that I played, that mm-hmm. like I'm not sure this is saying what you meant it to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like translated, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was enough dialogue that would say it kind of really started to irritate me. There was a lot of, and I really just wanted to skip through it. And man, I would say that's like a bad sign for dialogue. If your audience wants to skip through it, like it's not weird enough for me to slow down and just be like, hey, hey, hey. It just started to irritate me. I think it has a lot of potential, but
not yet.
I wouldn't even say it's close to being in the oven. You know, that bitch is still in the stand mixer.
Well, there's still time, right? That was a early access?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's hope. Maybe they can get a good translator to help translate that recipe into a game.
Yes, call me over. Unless it's in a language I don't know. If it's in Spanish, call me over. I'll translate. Super easy.
We'll figure it out.
Legend, you streamed Tuesday. Ikone Island?
Yes, I did. Ikone Island. It's Ikone part Island. Of the Earthlock franchise. So I've played Earthlock when it was on Xbox.
Ooh.
Like a long time ago. I liked it. It was a little bit different for me to sort of get my head around it. I liked this version, though, specifically because it was very kind of build your own, but it wasn't leaving me to myself to do it on my own, right? Like, it was very simple. I gathered the ingredients, put it on the altar. That bitch would bake for me. Like, it was easy peasy. You can choose between different characters. I like the fact that it's going to be multiplayer. The graphics were great for the top-down angle that it was providing you, and the map was beautiful. You can interact with the NPCs. They were seeing the crafting was great, super easy to understand. The pirate part, everyone loved the pirates. That was adorable. I feel like you're going to engage with pirates more often because from what I understand that you just kind of wake up on this island. You and your friend are shipwrecked there from an orphanage, which is where you guys met. And then you're just basically helping to rebuild this island. And there's a lot of frogs.
And we know that's frogs, the theme a lot for of indie games.
Super cute. I enjoyed it. And I think King of the Hatch actually ended up getting the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been vibing to it, taking a break from his Planet Coaster obsession and played it a little bit. But I loved it. I think if you like a game where you can sort of manage the area, interact with your NPCs, craft, gather, cozy game, I would definitely recommend it. It was a great game to play.
Which, I liked it. Reminds me of a little pro tip. If you're ever looking for free game codes, every once in a while we have one floating around in the chat in these live streams. So I'm not going to take them because I got enough games to play. But if you want to take them, mm-hmm. you should tune into our I Dream of Indie lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to put that
in. I watched you stream it after the fact just because at the time I was a bit busy. But I was watching. I was like, I need
the very cozy, just like very cozy grove. Very, I don't know what I really need them to tell me what that character was. The blue character was like a mix between a tadpole and a shark with the big old eye. Yeah. I don't even know what it was. The other character was like a pig rabbit type. I forgot what they called her. It was super cute, but I was like, what are you?
I voted hammerhead shark, but yeah. I could be totally off base.
I was going for that too because of the way that the eyes are. Like,
yeah, his head was like,
yeah, it was kind of crazy weird, but it was super cute. I also did Justin Whack and the Big Time Hack on Wednesday. Now, I love myself a good point and click game. I think the genre is very important to the industry overall. They are definitely a lot harder than you would expect them to be, and I think that's why a lot of people don't play them. Is because they think, oh, point and click, it's super easy. But this game was freaking hard. It was really hard. I got stuck on the dinosaur, right? It was in my path. I couldn't make it move. Come to find out, you know, spoiler alert, you the chewing gum that you need strong lungs for, apparently got to stick it in that bad boy's nose.
Makes sense.
Then he blows the bubble. Kind of. Pops. wakes up.
I never totally logical, thought. And I definitely would have thought of that for sure. That is not sarcasm.
I got to there eventually, and that's when I typed in all caps. Oh my god. It is all I had to do. I played it after the stream because I was like, there's no way this game's gonna break me. Because it's hard, because the puzzles are logical, but they're also illogical at the same time. So
yeah,
the things that you would assume would go together. Yeah, it's crazy. Great graphics, though. I love the dialogue. I do like the fact that you can... I didn't look like I enjoyed myself on stream, but it was only because I was stuck. It was hard. But overall, I think the gameplay was super cute. I do like point-and-click games, because if you don't want to mess with controller or keyboard, it's just easy to use.
I've got to say, it seems like it suffered from this thing that I find frustrating about a lot of point-and-click games, which is it has a hint system, but it's never hints about what you actually need to do. Like, it always gives you hints that, like... you already know. Like, I know I have to get from point A to point B. Yeah. I need you to explain how I'm supposed to get from point A to point B.
The hint system was interesting to me because I like the fact that it was there, but I felt like it gave you too many choices. Instead of just focusing on the task at hand, it was telling you about the other tasks that you haven't done yet as well. And so you have to sort of scroll your mouse through them, which I think is too much and too long. Mm-hmm. And then it also gives you extra choices like, well, I guess I'll just ask in the Discord, or I guess I'm just going to leave or whatever. And I didn't like that. I think if you're going to give someone the option to have it be multiple choice, do two, you know, four at most, three at best, but two choices is really all that I need. But it was cute how she just kind of like popped up in a little window, yeah, totally acting cute, like a customer service representative. Mm-hmm. That was adorable. I did like that, but too many choices. I didn't like that at all. And you're absolutely right, Silent Signs. She was giving me, like, if I knew the answer, bitch, I wouldn't be asking you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I almost kind of wanted to turn into an Asian Karen. Like, I was like, yo, girl, you're not really helping
come
me.
On. Come on.
A little bit, but not much, you know. But once you kind of relax, I think I'm an overthinker, and point-and-click puzzles aren't very good for an overthinker. And I think if once I let myself just kind of relax and be like, look, this is a game. Dude, it's a game. They're not trying to make you feel dumb, even though you do right now. It's just a game. And so once I kind of relax and was just clicking everything to put everywhere, I figure I'm stuck now yet again, but I made it past the dinosaur part and I cleaned the caveman up. So now he has clothes.
Nice.
And that's good.
Really, that's all anyone can ask.
Yeah. He's got pants. So now every time he turns around, you don't need to see his butt. Crack at all.
He did have a nice butt, though. I mean, as far as cavemen go,
bubbly.
It was pretty good.
And round, yeah.
He's been doing his squats. I could tell.
Mm-hmm. That you can definitely tell. The pixelated part in the front was kind of cute, too.
It was.
It's just that. No surprise very there, delightful. Thank God. I would have been a little frightened, but overall, it was a really good game. I struggled with it during the live stream, because that's just how live streams are, but I would recommend it if you're a fan of the point-and-click genre. It was a very good game.
You persevered, though.
You did.
Places where I would have just given up. You,
it was
you
close. Fucking in my head, I just kept saying, I just want to quit. I'm going to quit. This game, I'm going to quit. I'm so tired. Like, I'm dumb. Like, I cannot be this dumb. Like, what the hell? Like, it has you second guess your intelligence. Like, yo, I cannot
I get you.
Beat me. I can't. It's just a point and click. Don't let it beat me. But it did. It has. So I'm taking a break right now. But I'm trying to make an effort to play more of the games or redo when I have played them on stream, just so that I can get a better feel for it. So I redid Rocko's Island, and that turned out to be a little bit better with my puzzle prowess. I'm trying to like what brain teaser myself, you know, get it going. But it was good. It was cute. I liked it. And you got the Tenants tomorrow. Are you excited about that?
No, that was today.
Oh, that was today.
I know.
I'm getting my days confused. That's right. I did watch a little bit of
the
stream today.
We swapped a lot of stuff. And yeah. Also, very confusing week. But this week has been a week, hasn't it?
It's been weird, right?
So your chaotic energy. Mm-hmm. I brought that chaos into the Tenants.
I feel like it's been a neutral chaotic for me. Like, mm-hmm. I was able to get stuff done. but it still messed me up this week.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I feel a little messed up, yeah.
But yeah, the tenants. Tell us about your time as a slumlord.
Yes, I was originally going to name my character literally Slumlord. But then, of course, we had the great suggestion to name her Karen. And I gave her a Karen appearance. White, blonde, looks like she probably hates you. You didn't even have to do anything. You just existed. And you quite literally start, the first neighborhood you're buying properties in is called is the slums. It's name that in the game. It's fun. It's fucking fun. It's really, it's just like another version of Sims, but more fucked up. And like, you're not really controlling people's lives. It's like Sims, but only the decorating, and like, you can harass your fucking tenants to get them to leave. And I was looking through the future options. And it's like, get them play trumpets, break stuff in their house. I'm like, what the hell? It's surprisingly fucked up, but I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing. And because they know what they're doing, you know, they're not trying. I don't think they're trying to reinforce the shittiness of like slumlord landlords, because I think they clearly try to paint us as pieces of shit if we go for the piece of shit option, which is always there. So if you want to be garbage, you can. If you want to let them live with fucking giant cockroaches, as will randomly appear.
Oh god, yeah, those things were those terrifying.
Gigantic. What was that?
It was, I didn't, they were mutants. They were from Fallout. They somehow made it into this game. And then you send in your uncle, grandpapa, whatever he was, you send him in, and he's just like squirting some green fumes around, which I can't imagine will be good for the tenant afterwards, but you know, who cares, as long as they're paying the rent, you know.
They get dropped. I feel like that was like an episode of Law and Order right there. Dun dun.
Yeah. That would be perfectly timed. I recommend this if you like The Sims, as well as like kind of like God games of management style, because Sims is like God game, but you're not, it's not so much super heavy management. Like you kind of, you're living a life, quote unquote. I do recommend The Tenants. I had a really great time. I thought it was fun. I don't see myself playing this too much like on my own time. Like I might play a little bit here and there, but it doesn't really have a plot, I would say, at all. But there is a story, but it's, you know, it's like threads,
it's irrelevant.
It's a vehicle to buy properties, redesign them, fuck around with your tenants, you know, go to it's a design game.
If I'm not mistaken, one of us is receiving a plushie from the tenants.
I am. I'm getting Uncle Steve.
Uncle Steve. Yeah, an Uncle Steve plushie. I'm not sure if they're available for the general public, but if they are and you're interested in this game, you can own your own Uncle Steve.
Once it arrives, I shall display him in the podcast for all of you to see Uncle Steve in his full glory.
You will need to find a spot for him to sit in your stream so he can always be with us. And we can always remember the giant roaches.
I'll paper mache a roach to put next to
him. Please. And like, you can get some green tissue paper and make it into the spray.
Oh my god.
I collect all like 2.5 cicada husks and then just make one big cicada out of it.
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts of I Dream of Indy. And then tomorrow we're gonna have Catizens with Legend. I'm very excited to watch you play this.
I'm excited too. This game allegedly was inspired by RimWorld and The Sims, so it's a colony management game. You can customize your own cats, and I'm totally going to name them after everybody because, you know, that's how I do. So I'm excited to see how it'll go, but it's like a sandbox kind of strategy game. It looks cute, so fingers crossed it'll be a good game.
Yeah.
I think cross all the fingers because you right? deserve
so far, it's been fun. Really good this week with games, so I'm excited. I'm anticipating good gameplay.
I have one request. One of my cats got out this week. Her name is Sushi, and I found her, but I spent like 2 days running around trying to find her in my neighborhood. Can you please name a cat as in Sushi for me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
I promise.
In her honor, because she
has been found. How did Sushi escape?
We're not really sure how she got out. We just realized that no one had seen her for a day, and I was like, that's not normal, because she eats a lot. Mm-hmm. So, like, when it was dinner time and she did not come, I was concerned. So I walked around the block like 10 times, couldn't find her, left a bunch of stuff out on the porch to try and lure her home. I told you it was a chaotic week, but she came back. I heard her little pathetic meow in the backyard and I ran and got her.
That's good. We thought that we had lost our cat. We couldn't find him anywhere. And we had just come back from the pool, so my daughter had thought that maybe he had gone outside. But, mm-hmm. like, because he'll push the screen door, but he doesn't know, you know, he can't work it to, like, hold it open and walk out. As we're calling him, daughter's crying. Like, she's just so sad. In the middle of school, no less. She's just really upset. All of a sudden, my teenager, who happened to crawl in bed with me, so she was sleeping in my room, opened her eyes, and he comes slinking out of my closet. Yep. Never been in my closet before. I guess he was just like exploring in there and passed out. So relatable. I was like, heart attack relieved. But my mom was like, there's no way he would have left. Like, he's too dumb to, like, outside to him is our patio, you know, but the cat. And then my daughter's like screaming his name and he's just looking at her like, what? Okay.
Well, you have to
bug on me, but what?
Is this, you have to name one for your cat too.
Dude, yeah. He's an ass. Get your assholes. Can't believe it. I'm glad Sushi made it home.
Me too.
Many so what's going on with the PQB? How do you say that? PQB? I heard you guys.
Yeah.
I read something about it in the chat. What's going on with that? They exploited a developer's heritage.
They have been accused of taking advantage of two different, if I'm correct, I think it's two different indie studios, specifically Indonesian indie studios. Yeah, two. Yeah, basically they got like a diversity fund, but instead of giving them the money, they kept it. Oops. Allegedly, we haven't heard their side of the story yet.
I got legend. I know that game.
Which game?
Oh my gosh, hold on. I have to confirm my choices. Oh, I'm looking at the thing right now. Hold on. I know that game. Gosh, why can't I think of it? I play the demo. Toge Productions. Yeah. This game was developed by Toge Productions.
So they made
When the Past Was Unbound. Around. Bam. That's what it is.
Which one was it?
It's called A Space Unbound. It's a narrative side scrolling story. I would say maybe point and click in nature, but it's like focuses on mental health and how you react and how a family who grows up in maybe an abusive situation, like it alludes to that and how your friendship can evolve and all this stuff. But it's based off of, I believe, Indonesian mythology.
This looks really cool. That studio also made When the Past Was Around, which I don't know if either of you played. It's like a really charming, sad puzzle game. I don't think so. When the Past Was
It's around. Very cozy, very casual, and it's very pretty.
Yeah, and very sad.
Is it
very
hard?
No, it's very sad, though. It's emotionally hard, if you know what I mean. It's a good game, though. Highly recommend.
I have so many I'm adding now to the list. And also, there's an update. So PQ Games responded. We have honored all of our obligations of our publishing agreement and supported Toge Productions at every stage of product development throughout their delays and difficulties. Oh! Throwing some shade there. The support has included offering significant further funding over and above grant funding to support development, porting, and marketing. Toge Productions has sought for some time to unilaterally enforce unreasonable revised terms to an agreement and is disappointed that, as a result of not achieving that, and despite PQ's significant efforts to accommodate this, they have sought to deal with this matter in this way. We will respond through the appropriate channels.
Interesting. Very interesting. So I don't know. I don't know where that leaves me. There's really nothing to like substantiate either of these claims, if we're being entirely honest. Like, unless I see what these funds were and where they went, I'll never know.
That's a shady apology, though. That's not exactly an
apology. It was a shady apology. Not an apology at all. Yeah, it's not. It's just... Oh, they also did while PQ Asia did Super Bullet Break, which I reviewed.
Yeah.
But Toj or Toje, I don't know how you say it, but they did
Productions. I think it's Toj.
My Lovely Daughter, and I assume My Lovely Wife, but I'm not sure. We'll have to keep watching the situation and see. But regardless, it's just always unfortunate when this kind of drama shows up, or not drama. I don't want to use the word drama, but these kind of issues present themselves.
And it's hard because you would think that as a smaller developer, they would have more respect by a company as large as that, because they do specialize sort of in the indie scene specifically. So it's a little disheartening to have, you know, something with that type of footing to be rude.
Okay, so I see why I'm kind of confused. So Toj Productions is also a publisher. So they've published games, from what I'm understanding. I'm on their website right now. I've seen the name a bunch of times on a bunch of different games I've played, but I've never actually like looked into who they are and what they do. But yeah, it looks like they're a publishing company. I don't know. I guess I'm not educated enough on this topic to have an opinion.
There isn't enough information. I just hope that whatever is going on, the truth shall be revealed and the correct course of action shall be taken, whatever that might be.
I also learned that Toj means bean sprout in Indonesia.
Oh, so, that's bean cool. Sprouts Productions. I love that.
That is just cute.
All right, we have a few more pieces of news. Oh, we have a lot of news. Yo, we all been working on this quite a bit.
Yeah, Joe went hard.
He did.
Joe went hard. Well, no, he's super excited about the last little bit of news that's on here that your cursor's on. He's been talking about that for days. So Fear Effect Reinvented just released their teaser trailer by Forever Entertainment. It looks pretty decent. I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like they cycle out these graphics sometimes, I guess. Like, it feels to me like this is very Telltale type of design. Again, like, a lot of people are doing more of, like, the line art, more of the graphic novel type of vibe. Seems to be really popular. That's the term for it. The graphic novel, the line art. It looks great. I think it looks really good. I don't know if it would be the type of game that I would play, but it says that this is an action-adventure true to the original remake of the first game from the classic Fear Effect franchise, refreshed with improved graphics and controls. Collect items, solve puzzles, and manage your inventory. 3 difficulty modes. It looks good. Yeah, oh, you know what? They have it for the Switch. I'm hoping it translates good on the Switch.
Hopefully, but it looks interesting. Like you said, Legend, for me as well. Like, this isn't really a game that I would play personally.
Great,
but that's just visually it's not appealing, really my style.
But not gameplay appealing for me.
Yeah,
I think I'd have to really look at this. I don't mind playing games like these. But it would have to be something that had a really good storyline for me to participate in.
Yeah, something more than just the run around, shoot enemy, go to cover. I played that a lot when I was younger. There wasn't a giant indie game scene, so you had to play what you could get. But I never really could get invested in those kind of games because typically, the ones I've played, at least, the plot hasn't been spectacular.
Yeah.
But we can hope for the best from Fear Effect Reinvented. And we have another trailer here, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Have you ever seen that movie?
No, that's a movie?
Have you ever seen that movie? It is a movie. That is what this game is based off of. It is literally Killer Clowns. So for those of you that are watching, beware that there are clowns in this clip that we're showing you for our indie legend. So just disclaimer, because not everybody likes them. You know, it's kind of spoopy doopy. But they look gross and disgusting because they're clowns from outer space. And what they do in the movie is that they collect human bodies and they turn them into cotton candy. They put them in like cotton candy. Huh? And then they eat humans. So think of it as kind of like V, where they're using humans as their food sustenance. But they put them in these, like, they put the people inside these giant cotton candies, and then the clowns literally go around and like poke them with straws to drink. It's not funny, but it is funny. They just drink it from the cotton candy husk that they have them in. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's a bad movie, but it's a good movie, like for what it was worth back then.
That looks insane, but I want to play it.
Yeah, likewise.
You can sign up for the beta now, but it was by Good Shepherd Entertainment, and I believe the people who made Friday the 13th game also made this one, and I don't know if anyone is familiar with that game in particular, but it did not. It's kind of got mixed reviews, still really buggy from what I understand. But overall, it was kind of like pre-Dead by Daylight game, and then Dead by Daylight came out and kind of took over everything.
Yeah, just ate up all that market.
Yeah,
so what I'm hearing is to keep my expectations at a very reasonable level.
I would keep your expectations at a minimum. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say nothing, you know, to be super hyped about. I'm sure the graphics look really good, but then people also tried to do the Evil Dead, and that game is awful. I've tried it. I don't like it. At all. It's so bad. And I think when you're making like a four-person horror game, it has to be good. You have to be able to play it with people. Even if you end up being randos, there has to be some sort of system to it. So I'm hoping this game will do well, because if anyone's going to make a game out of an old horror movie, B movie, it would have to be Killer Clowns. I mean, this is a brilliant idea. So I'm hoping it takes off.
Me too.
You have to see that movie though. So they just...
it is added to my list. Well, once they make the game, then we can have a movie night and watch it, because technically it will be a game related, movie related game.
Yes.
So, and the movie night is for our indie legends. So yeah. if you become an indie legend, you can be an indie legend or indie warrior is becoming a member of this channel. One of our patrons comes with lots of bonuses, including that where we see indie, not indie, but we see video game movies together. What was the last one we saw? It was Assassin's Creed, right?
Assassin's Creed. We did. What else did we do?
Why am I totally drawing a blank?
The fighting game.
Street Fighter?
Street Fighter, I think so, with the beautiful Mulan voice actress lady.
Yes.
And we did another one. We've done
Silent Hill.
Yes.
I remember that. You guys did
Silent Hill. Yes. That was a thing. Open to suggestions. We've done some gaming nights as well. Recently, we played some Fall Guys, which was very fun. It's always a nice little time with our community.
Yeah,
our community's fabulous. Yeah. Another piece of news we've got. Oh, I'm going to butcher this. Dorf Romantic.
Yeah.
Dorf Romantic release date set for September on the Switch. What is this?
This is basically a, like, I don't want to say like a puzzle game, but it's again like a colony builder. They have a lot of relaxing building games, this franchise in particular, but it's like a strategy / puzzle / cozy sort of meditation game. They have different sceneries, different types of aspects that you can develop from, but it's really cute. If you like those meditation games, this one's perfect for a cozy, just relaxing. You don't really think about it, but it's nothing too hard, too logical. It's really cute. It's just procedurally generated titles that you have to stack.
That sounds nice. And I see it's also 20% off on Steam.
Mm-hmm. So whether you want it Switch or Steam, it is here for you. Oh, yeah. Overwhelmingly positive with 15,000 reviews. Good on them.
I've heard nothing but good things. Everybody who's played it that I know has loved it.
Oh, yay. Good, good. Oh, we have another trailer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have one? Yes. Return to Monkey Island coming September 19th. Didn't we have some news about that that was a bit troubling?
I think it had something to do with
how the creator was being treated.
They were being really rude about to the creator, to where what's that guy? He actually participated in Justin Black and the Big Time Hack. The Ron Gilbert, is that who it is?
He
made a tweet commenting about, you know, well, now I'm going to be a part of the series. I'm going to be part of the franchise because you guys shouldn't be treating people like this. And if he's going to remake the game to the best of his ability, I think it's a great idea. So I'm going to do this for it. But it's coming out soon. And I think this is going to be available as well on Fanatical. I think they're going to have it on sale for a little bit. So the whole franchise, I think, the bundle altogether.
I love this art style.
Sunday to find out about that.
Yeah, I think that's what people were hating on. I think people didn't like the art style for some reason. I think it's great.
I think it's awesome.
It's really delightful.
I love it. I love this guy right now flailing his arms about.
I know. He's awesome.
He's just very
fun.
I like it.
Colorful.
I think it's fantastic.
I don't know why anybody.
Because
it didn't change the OG graphics from the game, and that's why people were mad. I think people who want a remake want the game to have a 2022 gameplay, but not 2022 graphics if it's from a favorite franchise. But I think that's silly. If you're gonna remaster a game, update the graphics. You know,
you want the old version
of it being remastered. You're not taking away from the game itself, you're just making it look better on other platforms. So
Play the old version if you want literally the same fucking game. You know, otherwise, like, I just never get how somebody can get upset at the person who made the game you love for innovating. Like, there's some, I think of like music artists that I like. I love Florence and the Machine. I have not really liked her last album or so, and doesn't mean I hate her. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out and just be like, burn her at the stake. You have failed me. But, you know, people.
I saw her live one time and she stood right in front of me on the floor and I almost passed out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I wanted to cry a little bit.
That's fucking awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Yes.
Right. Just had to share.
Thank you. I got chills just thinking about it. I was just like,
right?
No. Her and Adele. I just need a moment with both of them.
The moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just the briefest of moment to hear them sing close to me. Right. To elevate my spirit to another plane. Eventually.
Someday.
And our last piece of news, which is a little bit more somber, but still has some positivity to it. Indie game developer passes away, making their games free as a parting gift. So this is from the indie game developer Squid in a Box, real name Rob Hale.
Mm-hmm.
Made Waves and Waves 2 Notorious. All had health issues, and within the past 2 months, which is so sad, but also I love that they plan such a beautiful thing for the community that is something that will continue to live in their legacy, you know?
What a beautiful gesture, you know?
I think so too. And that the games were great. They were well received, and the fact that he was able to make it free, his partner, I guess, and him had discussed it, I guess, prior to his passing, just making it free once he did, and everyone was just so blown away by it that it's doing amazing on Steam right now.
Aww.
It's doing fantastic. So it's sad that it had to come to that, but these games, what you're seeing now for the Indie Legends is fantastic. A lot of people love these games because it has that osu vibe, you know, you got to keep up with the rhythm, you got to pay attention to that stuff. And this has a nice kind of like fighting action to it. Got a retro feel, very colorful, very neon. So if you're sensitive to those things, you may want to be careful when you check this game out yourself, because it may, flashing may upset yep. that. But overall, I thought it was great. Not my vibe, but I love watching people play it.
Oh yeah, I would watch someone play it. Like somebody who's masterful in these kind of like twin stick shooting pew pew games. When they're good, you just watch. You're like,
oh yeah.
You know, it's awe. Like oh my God, I haven't thought of Osu in forever. We mentioned, I was like, there's a part of my brain that's just like, oh my God, I remember it. I was young back then.
Right. I remember youth.
But it's really beautiful. My good days.
It's really beautiful what this developer did. And I don't know, in an age where we have issues like with Disney trying to fuck up copyright all the time and make it so that they can own everything forever and commercialize everything, the very last drop of it, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
This developer has done this. And if this looks like a game that interests you, it's free and you get to experience a beautiful testament to their prowess and their passion.
Indeed.
Well, that is actually all we have to review for today. Just some reminders before we let you go. Don't forget to subscribe. I don't know how you wouldn't be subscribed, you're here, but if you aren't, come on over. We've got reviews, we've got streams. Legend is live Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. I'm live Tuesday, Thursday, 6 p.m. Silent Signs, Joe, myself, as hardcore gamer, here. We make new reviews. we do the things. We have a TikTok where we're starting to put stuff out on the TikTok. Legend does some sales videos. We got a lot going on. We also have a Ko-fi account. So if you wanted to donate money directly to us to help support us in our mission for the voice to the voiceless, feel free. Listen to the podcast. Get merch, whatever way that you'd like to contribute to the cause, which is also just being here, listening, watching, and if you ever
waiting,
waiting, so choosing,
stop on by. We have a lovely community. We have great times together. Any final notes from y'all before we let them go?
Thank y'all for listening and watching and keeping us afloat here at I Dream of Indie. It's always such a pleasure to be able to create content for you all. And thank you.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to ask us questions to, you know, if there's an indie game that you want us to look at that we haven't covered, whether it's a live stream or a review, we're always open to that. If there's something that you would like to get off your chest, we have our community memberships, which gives you access to our Discord, and you guys can ask away. And we're very interactive in there. Everyone talks all the time. Like I said, I wake up early. I'm East Coast. I wake up at 9, and Joe's already having conversations when I'm checking the Discord in the morning. I already got messages for myself I got to look at. It's fun. It's really nice to be able to wake up and already have like a good vibe going on, and our community always brings that to the table, so that's cool.
Thank you so much, everyone, and we will see you next week. Goodbye!
Bye!